Welcome to Pursuing True North's Truth of the Week series. I'm Catherine King.
And I'm Jenny Scioto. This week's Truth of the Week is Psalm 100, verse 3. It's a really short psalm. It's 5 verses. So I'm going to read you the whole psalm, but we'll be concentrating on verse 3. It's a psalm of thanksgiving. Let the whole earth shout triumphantly to God. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter the gates with thanksgiving and the courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his faithful love endures forever. His faithfulness through all the generations.
Verse 3 specifically is, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. That's the verse of the week, but the whole psalm is beautiful.
Yeah, I love the imagery in the Psalms. The Psalms in general is great for imagery, which is why there's so many songs about the Psalms or that include the words from the Psalms. But it's like, enter the gates of thanksgiving. You can just see people.
You feel the energy from it.
Yeah, exactly.
We should be so thankful and so excited that that's just the natural response we have when thinking about and praying or even talking about God.
Yeah, exactly.
Lots of verses turn into songs. And I think this one is a pretty popular one. There are a few songs written just about Psalm 100, I believe. Let's unpack this verse just a little bit. There's ownership here. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. So that's ownership right there. God's saying, I made you. You're mine. We had nothing to do with our existence. We have nothing to do really with any of it. If you think about it, there's so little control we truly have. And for me, it's really nice to know that, yes, I have no control, but I know who does. And I know I am a part of him. And it's a beautiful thought to go, okay, God made me. God wanted me. God wanted you. He wouldn't have made you if he didn't take delight in you and want to have a relationship with you. At the end of the verse, they talk about being sheep. So I did a little looking on a nice Britannica website, a little bit of information about sheep. And I find it funny, they kind of put towards the bottom, just in summary, they say sheep are basically timid animals who tend to graze in flocks and are almost totally lacking in protection from predators. People, we tend to group up, don't we?
We definitely like our cliques.
Yeah. Starts at a young age too.
Yeah.
And sheep do need a protector. And that's why there's so much imagery, especially in the Psalms too, about God being our shepherd. He's the one that protects us. So there's ownership here. There's protection here.
One thing that I love is that the verse starts out with, in your version known, my version acknowledge. But it's the same Hebrew word, which I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's Y-A-D-A. So yada. Like
yada sounds yada. Good. Yeah.
Yada. Sounds like an Italian slang for me, but yes. So it's yada. And yada is, by definition, in the Hebrew definition, it says it conveys the concept of knowing by a personal experience or by entering into a personal relationship. So it starts off the verse by saying, personally know that the Lord is your God. He is God. We all need to live in that and kind of get cozy with it.
Yes. Well, you live differently mm-hmm. when you know that you are wanted and loved by the maker of the whole universe.
Yes. There's a different kind of hope and peace that you have when you actually have a personal relationship with God.
Well, too, I believe there's a void in us that was only meant to be filled by a relationship with God, that no other substance, no other person or persons, we can try to shove them in that hole. That only ever gives us kind of a temporary resting place. But when you take that God-sized space in you and you fill it mm-hmm. with that relationship with God, it changes everything.
Yeah. God gave us that need for a reason. And people do fill it with all sorts of things. Material objects, substances, video games. You can
people
easily try
too.
To...
Your children?
Yeah. Or just staying like so busy that you don't remember that you have...
Yes.
People are driven by this need of wanting to fill it. And if you're not actually filling it with the Lord and with the proper thing, you can get very lost in this world.
I love that we are a divine creation. We are made by God and we are special to him. I like to tell my daughter when she will complain a little bit about parts of her and being made not quite the way she would have liked.
Amen,
and
sister.
I get that because just about every day I probably find something going on with me that I'm not real thrilled with. And it was out of my control because I did not design or create myself. Because if I had, I'd have longer arms, I'd be taller. Like, anyway, you get the idea. If I were to create myself, it would look different. But I didn't create myself. God created me. And so whenever we kind of pick apart things about ourselves that we don't like, it's essentially telling God, hey, I don't like what you made. It'd be like if you looked at somebody who made this piece of artwork and said, hey, do you like it? Or, I like what I did. And you're like, well, you could have done it differently here and here and right here. It's not, you didn't design you. That's what I tell my baby girl. I'm like, hey, the creator of the universe picked specifically for these things to be so. And nothing in our eyes is perfect anyway.
No.
So.
And we're not meant to be. Made in his image and he did make us. But we're also not meant to be perfect down here. We're not gonna be. We eat lots of chemicals.
Yes, we do.
It's not going to be perfect, but we were given one body and we need to appreciate it. We need to treat it correctly. We need to do what we can to take care of it and not to hurt it.
Thing I've liked to kind of give a piece of imagery to anyone I ever talk to that I feel doesn't really truly understand the greatness of God's love in just making them. So I like to say, hey, look, I kind of picture God up there in heaven somewhere in this really kind of bright room where there's a table in the center. This is what I see. And this is just, again, my imagery here. A table in the center of this room. And it's God's think tank. It's his think box. It's his creative, I'm making a person box. And he spent the time to create you in that room. He created you before you were born, had it all planned out, all figured out, all made. He sat there and worked every piece of you out, down to your personality, your likes, your dislikes, your hair color, just every little piece about you he knew and made. That's how special you are to God. He spent specific time designing and creating you, and that is magnificent. He made mountains and the world and everything else, and he wanted you so much he made you and brought you to life. Like, what an honor. And then he said, hey, you can be my child if you want to be.
Well, it says he formed us in our mother's wombs, and he knows every hair on our heads, or lack of hair depending on the person. He knows us, and that is something to cherish and to not take for granted. So this whole month emphasis has been kind of on who we are. These truths of the week have been concentrating on defining us as people. And it all boils down to identity. When I was younger, and everyone would tell me, you need to find your identity in Christ, and you need to find your identity in Christ, I wouldn't understand what that meant. I'm like, all right, well, okay, I have an identity in Christ. I was always embarrassed to really, I never quite understood what it meant. And one thing that God revealed to me, in my 20s, I was in the Air Force. And I loved being in the Air Force. I was very gung-ho, volunteered for everything, climbed up the ranks. I had a dream. Short story is, I got hurt, had to medically retire from the military. No longer could call myself a sergeant. No longer could call myself a military member. I was retired. And through that journey, I really kind of discovered that I was actually finding my identity in the military versus finding my identity in Christ. And I still kind of prayed and went through this journey of, what does that mean? Finding my identity in Christ, what does that mean? And honestly, it's as simple as this. We are sons and daughters of Christ. We are princes and princes of the one true God. That's it. You think about royalty, but we're of royal descent of God. And we need to rest in that. We are first and foremost sons and daughters of God. And everything else in our life is just something we do. It's not who we are. We could change our career tomorrow. That is not who you are. You could change your family tomorrow. That's not who you are. You can change everything else in your life. Those don't define you. Those are just things you do. Those are things you fill your time with. It's ways that you serve the Lord here on earth. It's all of those things. But who you are is, and hear me clearly, the only thing you are is a prince or princess of the one true King. And as long as you understand that and walk around with that truth, anything else in your life can come secondary, and you don't have to get wrapped around the axle about it.
That's beautifully said. It was beautifully said. Your identity is, it's everything. Because if you don't realize your importance, if you don't realize how loved you are, you're going to act like you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And to watch people, and I was there too, not realizing the level that you're loved. I wish I could explain better how I behaved when I didn't. It was kind of my sense of self-worth and the confidence I had in just me as a person and what I was able to even do was way less before I realized some of the greatness of God's love for me. There's no way I know all of it. The light bulb went off and it was like, oh my gosh, this is who I am. And all of my insecurities really had to kind of shift most of them away. And obviously I have some security issues and confidence issues sometimes with things where I'm like,
we all do.
Yeah. But in general, I don't live like that now. And before and after are very different snapshots. And it helps mentally just in your day to day with all that confidence and knowing who you are.
Yeah. There are some days, especially when I'm feeling very insecure to go into a new place, and I love being around people, but I get social anxiety, and I've had to repeat that to myself. I am a daughter of the King, and that's how I need to walk in there. They might all hate me, but my Father loves me. And it does. It brings you a level of peace, which we all need in this world.
Also, God's going to allow circumstances and life events way beyond our ability to handle them on our own. And when we know, okay, I'm in this situation, but God's with me and he's for me and he loves me. Taking that perspective into whatever it is that you need to do or get through, that you just realize, I can't do this on my own, but I don't have to. Having that confidence of being his and just being his child. It's like how you look at your kids. You see them, you love them. Just be their being. You just love them. And God looks at us the same way. Our challenge this week is, in the next uncomfortable situation you find yourself in, instead of looking at your flaws or your lack of abilities, stop in that moment, recognize your God's, you have confidence in him, confidence in how things are going to turn out, even if you're a little bit unsure. Just repeat to yourself, I am his, he is mine, and God is God, and he's going to take care of it.
So glad you joined us today. Hit subscribe so you don't miss a thing and catch all the new happenings at pursuingtruenorth.com.
Don't forget to like and share us. Have a wonderful week.